You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, along with Scott Eckersley, producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Pleased to have in the studio with me now Lawrence Nolan, who is an attorney, president of Nolan, Thompson & Villis in Eaton Rapids. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. How are you?
Okay. Now, we wanted to get a hold of Mr. Nolan to go over the case that's now in the courts, and some papers were filed over the weekend. And just to give a quick synopsis and background, this is the case involving now Judge Hugh Clark Jr., who was appointed by Governor Jennifer Granholm to the district bench on December 20th to replace Judge Amy Krause, who was appointed to the Michigan Court of Appeals. Krause was reelected in November to another term on the district court that was to begin January 1st. Now, the addition to this is Attorney General Bill Schuette, a Republican who took office January 1st, says that Clark's appointment should have ended on January 1st. And he says Governor Rick Snyder has the legal authority to fill the seat once held by Krause. So that's kind of a synopsis. Is that accurate?
That's pretty accurate.
A very basic but accurate. So you are representing Judge Hugh Clark, who has been now on the bench since January 1st, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And going to work every day. Where are we?
He actually, Cheryl, took office by virtue of his appointment by Governor Granholm on December 21st or 22nd.
Thank you for that clarification. As soon as you started that sentence, I remembered that he had, because I had spoken with him. So thank you for that clarification. The problem has come up, as I just described. Where are we today, and what filings were made by you and another attorney, Tom Brennan Sr., on Friday?
We filed a response to the action brought by the Attorney General and basically filed a brief in support of Judge Clark in opposition to Attorney General Bill Schuette's complaint for quo warranto. Quo warranto is an extraordinary writ that's not often seen in the courts, and it basically is an Italian – it's a Latin phrase meaning by what authority. And so Bill Schuette, as the Attorney General, has challenged the authority by which Judge Clark sits. He's relied on a case that was quite well known. When Blair Moody was a Supreme Court justice, was finishing out his 8-year term, and then I think he was elected in November to another 8-year term, but he died in December before he completed his first term of 8 years, and at that time the governor was Governor Milliken, sought to appoint Dorothy Comstock Riley. Obviously, Governor Milliken finished his term in office, not unlike Governor Granholm, on December 31st. And as you will recall, Governor Blanchard then took the seat of the governorship on January 1st and wanted to appoint another justice. And basically, there was a vote, and there was a vote by the then sitting Supreme Court justices. This is not analogous to that for a number of reasons. And it was never argued in the Dorothy Comstock Riley case that the Constitution, the 1963 Constitution, Article 6, Section 4, specifically said the Supreme Court shall not have the power to remove a judge. And it's specifically set forth in our Constitution. One of the things that was guaranteed by the Constitution was that the election of judges, the choosing of judges, would be done by the people. And it has been upheld and set forth under the Constitution. That's why at any given time, judges across the state of Michigan make tough decisions. And if it was up to a political whim of whoever was in power, whether it be the Republicans or the Democrat, to be able to remove a judge, we would have the threat. This is one of the reasons federal judges are appointed by the President of the United States on recommendation of the Senate, and they're appointed for life, so they can make decisions that are independent without any fear of repercussion or losing their jobs. In the pleadings, Attorney General Bill Schuette stipulated that and set forth as a statement of facts that Hugh Clark is a sitting judge, lawfully sitting judge at this time. What Mr. Schuette's argument is that on January 1st, he became an illegally sitting judge. And that doesn't make any sense. There's three ways, only three ways, in which to remove a judge in the state of Michigan. There's no other way. One is by impeachment, where that's put up to a vote of the people. And again, it seeks to guarantee the electorate in being able to choose who they wish for their judiciary. The second is by the governor, and two-thirds of the support of both the House and the Senate, which would be very difficult because that would be along political lines. Obviously, there'd have to be some serious reason as to why that would take place or why Governor Schneider would ever seek to take that action. I don't believe he would, whether he's a Republican or Governor Granholm, whether she was a Democrat. That's just executive power interfering with the judiciary. The third way is the only way a Supreme Court can remove a judge, and that's on recommendation of a judicial tenure commission recommendation. We don't have any one of those situations. What the judicial tenure commission does is it affords due process, notice, hearing, allows a judge to present evidence and to present testimony and mark exhibits just like you would as an ordinary citizen would have a right to defend themselves. Then after all of that has been guaranteed, the Judicial Tenure Commission within its power would make a recommendation which the Supreme Court would then vote on to if in fact they wanted to take that severe action. And obviously there would have to be some serious reasons, such as a serious criminal act or something historically taken for the Supreme Court to remove a judge.
Well, is this politics?
I would hope not. That's Attorney General Schuette's second day in office. I don't know why he would take a political stand on a district court judge in Lansing and seek that. But I would hope it's not politics because the judiciary should be independent of politics. In fact, our Supreme Court is nominated by the people that run, but an independent could run irregardless of the nomination that both the Democrats and the Republicans both nominate two individual candidates. And but an independent could run. But that's one of the reasons why the Constitution has guaranteed and insulated the judiciary from political acts of one party, because now you have a Republican attorney general seeking to remove historically maybe a Democrat. I don't even know if Hugh Clark is a Democrat or a Republican. But I don't think it makes any difference.
It shouldn't in the judiciary. But you're saying that the case that Schuette cites isn't applicable.
No, it's not applicable. And I sat on the Judicial Qualifications Committee for the State Bar of Michigan for 3 years. I'm on the Board of Commissioners, which is the governing body of the State Bar at this time. And historically, the governor in power does make political appointments, does appoint people that maybe like in Jennifer Granholm's situation, worked for her at the Attorney General's office, which I'm sure Rick Snyder, Governor Snyder, would have the same right to do. But that's understood both at the state level and the national level that the person who is in power makes those nominations. A conservative group might not like President Obama making nominations to the Supreme Court at this time, but if there's a vacancy, a resignation, or a death, and that's the only way, by the way, in Michigan you can have a vacancy, is by somebody dying in office, resigning, or if they've been ousted by the Judicial Tenure Commission, then that sitting governor at that time makes the appointment. The case that Attorney General Bill Schuette has relied on was applicable only, and it's not a case that we could consider stare decisis because there were five different opinions from six different justices, one of which then later changed his mind 2 days later and voted for ouster. But that went along party lines. Justice Brickley and Justice Riley at that time voted to keep Dorothy Comstock Riley. Thomas Giles Kavanaugh, Justice Michael Francis Kavanaugh, and Justice Soapy Williams voted to remove her. Originally, Justice Levin voted with Ryan and Brickley on a Friday night. On a Tuesday afternoon, he changed his mind and decided that he would vote with Soapy Williams, Michael Kavanaugh, and Thomas Kavanaugh. And in that situation, Justice Riley was ousted. She then ran 2 years later because the next general election, she ran and defeated, I believe, historically, if it's accurate, Thomas Giles Kavanaugh, one of the justices that voted to oust her. In this case, there was a constitutional applicability of circuit court judges, court of appeals judges, probate judges that didn't include in 1963 that had holdover language for a justice that was appointed. And this is applicable to district court judges. District court wasn't created until, I think, 1968. And so when that was created, later there was an interpretation by the statute and the legislature that provided for holdovers that said basically if you're appointed to a vacancy, which Judge Hugh Clark was appointed to, that you will then hold over until January 1st following the next general election, which would be 2 years from now.
And the part of your filings were to, with the Court of Appeals, is to ask the Supreme Court to take it up directly.
Yes, and whether or not they have jurisdiction or whether they exercise jurisdiction or they'll wait to see if the Court of Appeals rules on it, I can't tell you. But that's where we're at right now.
Well, and you and I had a moment to talk beforehand. It's an interesting case, and we'll be following it. I appreciate your time today, and I hope I can talk with you again about this as proceeds.
Thank you very much for inviting me here and allowing me to speak on behalf of Judge Clark.
I appreciate your time this evening. We've been speaking with Lawrence Nolan, who is the president of Nolan, Thompson & Villis in Eaton Rapids. Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.